This is Trailing Stars Behind Us, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Hear Just Roar and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Alternate Universe, Everyone Lives, Nobody Dies, Chrissy Cunningham Lives, Established Relationship, The Gang is Unseen But Supportive, Slice of Life, Forehead Kisses, Cuddling and Snuggling, Hammocks, Eddie Munson Graduates High School. Hell yeah, he does. And he gets some cards from his people, too. Emotional Hurt Comfort. It's me. You should expect nothing less. Eddie's not sure where the hammock came from in the first place. It's Puke Army Green, which means it either came from one of Wayne's deployments or the surplus store. He's never bothered to ask. He just knows that when April hits, up goes the hammock on the front lawn. Or the pitiful patch of grass Wayne calls a lawn that they've made a point not to park the vehicles on. Same thing. Wayne had paid a buddy to weld up a frame for it years ago. Sturdy and just as redneck-looking as it deserves. Eddie loves the hammock. He loves his boombox, too, and he wishes that he could play it as loud as he wants today, but he knows that Mrs. Brand three lots down has a scheduled nap time for her toddler, and he'd really rather not deal with her frustrated yelling to turn it back down. His headphones have an extra long cord. It's fine. He doesn't mind. The sun is up and high in the late morning sky. He's got his shades perched on his nose and a solid day of nothing ahead before the rest of the work week. No rest for the wicked, so they say. He's got one leg out of the hammock to sway himself back and forth, letting the late May breeze take him away with the sweet sound of one of his mixtapes as he tucks his hands under his head. And it's nice as far as days off go. It's even nicer when a shadow falls across his face, one he can sense even beneath his sunglasses. It's the only warning he gets before slender fingers tug gently at his headphones, lifting the foam off one ear. She takes great care not to pull his hair as she does so, and Eddie appreciates that. "You look comfy," she says, and Eddie cracks an eye open. Chrissy Cunningham is a vision even on her worst days. He'd know, he's seen at least one. But this is clearly one of her best, and she outshines the sun in her cut-off denim shorts and purple tank top. Her hair is pulled back in a pretty French braid, wispy little strands of strawberry blonde rebelling to frame her face. Her eyelids are painted green today, and it makes her eyes glitter in the sun. It's simply not fair. He is only a mortal man. Who let him near this goddess? Chrissy smiles at him, and he tucks his headphones out of her grip to dangle around his neck, tinny music still blaring as he pushes his shades to the top of his head so he can look at her properly. She's very clearly holding something behind her back, and looking awfully bouncy about it, if the way she's biting her lip is any indication. Chrissy isn't very good at surprises. Not the kind she plans, anyway. She's full of surprises, and he's learned that over the past few months. But anything she tries to keep a secret, something for someone else, she always wants to tell them immediately, and her excitement always gives her away. She'd bought Dustin a new hat a few weeks ago and had managed to keep it under wraps for exactly 4 hours before she couldn't take it anymore and had snagged his little freshman sheepy sheep by the arm in the hallway to drop it on his head. Dustin has not taken the ugly thing off since. Eddie is under very strict orders not to tell Susie. Given that Eddie has never spoken to Susie, he doesn't anticipate it being a problem. Besides, Dustin's so starry-eyed for his long-distance girl, he wouldn't put it past Chrissy to try mailing her some cookies and a welcome to the big messed-up family card. She'd win Susie over in no time flat. She's got that kind of power. She's also got the same look on her face now as she did when she'd given Nancy and Robin earrings at graduation. A sparkly set that matched her own. "I know we're a little old for matchy jewelry," she'd said, and Eddie's heart had ached at how nervous she'd been, standing in her green graduation robe. "But I just wanted to say thanks, is all." Robin had put hers in immediately, where they clashed horribly with her personality. Nancy had hugged Chrissy tightly, and Eddie had stepped away so they could make their summer plans in peace. He holds out his hand with a put-upon sigh. "All right, Cunningham, what do you have?" Chrissy rocks onto her toes, tilting her head innocently. "Who says I have anything for you, Munson?" She reaches out with one hand and swats at his denim-clad leg, the one hanging out of the hammock. "Who relaxes in jeans? Don't you own shorts?" Her other hand remains behind her back, and Eddie raises an eyebrow at her. "Trying to see my ankles like some sort of horny Victorian, Chris?" She laughs, so he continues. "The sheer audacity of it! Demanding to see my legs and unescorted at that! You have ruined my reputation. I'll never find a husband now." "Steve will still have you," Chrissy manages between her giggles, and Eddie snorts. "I can do better than Harrington," he says, unfazed. "I already have to share custody with him. Now you want me to marry him, too? The divorce just finalized." "I'm telling him you said that. All of it," she says, and finally brings her hand out from behind her back. "He'll probably take back all the nice things he said about you in your card, and then you'll feel terrible." Chrissy does, in fact, have a pair of white envelopes clutched in her fingers. He makes grabby hands at them, and Chrissy yoinks them out of his reach playfully. He narrows his eyes at her as she sticks out her tongue. "Cruel to deny a man his well wishes, Cunningham," he complains, though he knows she knows he doesn't mean any of it. His uncle says he's all bluster and no tornado, which is better than all hat, no cattle, according to his theoretical hick to English dictionary. Chris is looking at him again, in that way of hers. The one where her brows furrow just a little bit, like Eddie's a puzzle and she's missing a few of the pieces. "Can I come up?" It's so unexpectedly shy, her voice suddenly soft. Eddie's heart stumble steps in his chest like he missed a step going down the stairs. He swallows and nods. Eddie moves so that his foot is on the ground, tipping the hammock so that Chrissy can climb in. It's a clumsy affair, with her hanging onto the envelopes and only one hand free for balance. But Chrissy is tiny, and they manage. She fits into the space by his legs easily, facing him as she pulls her feet in with her. She reaches back down to unclasp her sandals, tossing them carelessly to the ground before stretching back out. And he is discovering that Chrissy Cunningham is just a little bit of a little shit, because she drops one of her legs across his chest. Eddie gives an exaggerated oof noise. "Have mercy, Danielson," he says, wrapping a hand around her ankle. It's ridiculously small in his palm, and he knows how deceptively strong those legs are. He's seen them soccer kick a dem about halfway to Kingdom Come. She wrinkles her nose, amused, and leans up to toss the envelopes to him. As he fumbles for them, he notices they're labeled "Open First" and "Open Second." Chrissy settles back down into their funny little pretzel arrangement of legs and limbs as he tears open the first one with very little grace. "Congrats," the card says across the front. In the same lettering, Hallmark uses to express sympathies for your loss. Eddie huffs an amused breath and opens it. He's met with a plethora of signatures in all sorts of pen colors. Robin's green scrawl reads,
"Good job, dickhead. Knew you had it in you."
While Nancy's unmistakable neat blue pen says,
"Proud of you, Munson."
Steve's horrendous pencil chicken scratch says something about the third time being the charm. So much for all the nice things Steve supposedly wrote for him.
Cunningham, you liar.
Mike only signed his name, which he supposes is fair. The kid's got some serious emotional constipation to work through. Lucas clearly borrowed Erica's pen, because both their messages are in pink. Lucas's,
"Way to go!"
is much nicer than Erica's,
"Good work, Tommy Chong,"
but significantly less funny. Max had written hers in red.
"You earned this."
And that gets to him a little bit, but not nearly as much as Dustin's.
"You're the best dungeon master we could have asked for, and the best friend, too. Thanks for leading us lost little sheeps. We'll take it from here."
Eddie blinks rapidly and tries not to sniff. He knows he doesn't succeed when Chrissy pats comfortingly at his shin. "Everyone was pretty annoyed they couldn't compete with Dustin's," Chrissy says gently.
"He's such a little shit," Eddie says, and chokes on it.
Chrissy nods sympathetically and squeezes his leg supportively as he scrubs a hand across his face.
"Fucker,"
he hisses, and manages to blink back the couple of tears that have formed. He must still look all sorts of pathetic, because Chrissy decides to move at that moment. The hammock rocks threateningly, but she manages to not tip either of them out of it, crawling her way over to tuck herself up to him. She has to duck under his headphones cord, and Eddie pulls them over his head to hand them to her. Chrissy leans over to set them on top of the boombox, and comes back to him like she can't do it fast enough. She wraps her arms around his waist, hands laced together at his hip after she manages to worm one under his back, and her hug nearly sets him off again. Eddie tells himself to pull it together. This was supposed to be a good thing, damn it. He's spent 3 years in former gifted kid burnout hell for that damn diploma. The fact that he's going to miss these idiots when he can't see them every day shouldn't hurt like hell. But it does. He likes his lost little freshman sheeps. He just wasn't aware they liked him back. He starts, reopening the card and hoping she doesn't catch the break in his voice.
"I notice there's a signature missing here, Cunningham."
Chrissy squeezes him. "Other card," she murmurs, and he notes the way her ears have gone red.
"Interesting."
He tears open the second envelope. It's less of a card and more of a folded piece of thick, fancy paper. Eddie swallows. He doesn't remember the last time anyone had cared enough to give him a handmade card for anything. The front is blank, aside from a tiny purple heart inked into the bottom corner. He runs his thumb over it fondly. Chrissy's the type to doodle on just about everything. She'd gotten bored during one of their study sessions once and asked to fill in the blank space of his tattoos with magic marker while he worked through the assigned reading. He'd ended up with half a sleeve of doodles and a lapful of cheerleader. Eddie can't say he was inclined to complain about either of those things. He thinks about the hearts and stars she'd drawn around his bats and opens the card. Chrissy's neat handwriting greets him, in rows of purple letters. His name is at the top, the eye dotted with another heart.
Eddie. Everyone else has already said their congratulations, so I'll skip it. You already know how proud I am of you for walking that stage. I'm even prouder that you waited to flip him off until you actually had the diploma in your hand. That took restraint. There's something else I wanted to say to you, and I'm too embarrassed to say it out loud, and if I get embarrassed while I'm trying to say it, you'll just make me laugh instead, and I'll never tell you what I want to tell you. Thank you. Thank you for seeing me when no one else did. You saved my life, and I couldn't have asked for a better hero. You made me feel safer in 10 seconds than anyone else has my whole life. You just keep doing it. I wish we'd met again under better circumstances, but I'm so glad that I met you at all. Love, Chris.
Eddie folds the card closed, licks his lips, and takes a breath. Chrissy has her face hidden from him, and he's starting to wonder if it had been purposeful, the way her cheek is pressed up against his chest so he can't see her eyes, and it breaks his heart. She's shaking. His arm is already around her shoulders, but he can't help the way his hand runs up and down her arm, trying to soothe while his own heart is pounding out of his chest. Eddie doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve the praise and the thanks and the being called a hero, because he knows what he is, and what he is no one's savior. He's a coward who happened to be around at the right wrong time, who bumped the damn radio when he was backing away from the kind and pretty girl with the sad eyes who started fucking levitating in his living room. He didn't do any of it on purpose. He sure as hell doesn't deserve Chrissy Cunningham's love at the end of her notes. You don't get to decide that, Chrissy says. And oh, shit, he said some of that out loud, and she's looking up at him from under her lashes, and Eddie would like to roll out of the hammock and die. I decide who's my hero and who gets my love, she continues, and she blushes on her stutter. Not you, not my mom, me. I decide. Chris, flip it over, she says. And Eddie's in no position to argue with her right now. He doesn't ever want to anyway. So he does as she asks of him. There's a bright pink lip print pressed to the back of the card.
Redeemable at your earliest convenience.
Eddie snorts, and he can see Chrissy biting down on a smile, even though she's gone back to hiding from his gaze. Hmm, he says, making a show of examining it, holding it out in front of him and tilting it this way and that. There's no fine print on this thing. And he waits for her to snap her head up to look at him. She gives him an amused look and lets him continue. No expiration date, nothing about a limited quantity. Is this one per customer? Chrissy puts an end to his rhetorics, laughing against his mouth, and Eddie sighs into the kiss. He manages to drop the cards out of the hammock, out of harm's way, and hopefully not to be carried away in the breeze. But he barely has the sense to think about any of that, because Chrissy Cunningham makes the brains leak out of his ears. She smells faintly of her strawberry shampoo, and her perfume he has never quite managed to decipher. It's warm and citrusy, and makes his head spin. She's surged up to kiss him, one hand pressing into the hammock under his back to hold herself up, the other on his stomach, just barely under the hem of his shirt, and her soft, absently stroking fingers are sending sparks up his spine. They break apart, but she doesn't go far, leaning up to press a kiss to his forehead. She removes her hand from his stomach and he misses it deeply as she reaches up to pull his sunglasses from the top of his head. Chrissy perches them on her own nose and looks at him over the tops of the lenses.
Go be pretty somewhere I can't see you. You're killing me,
he complains, and Chrissy laughs. She resettles again, mostly on top of him, her hands pillowed under her chin as she looks at him. He's sure it can't be a flattering angle for him, but he lets her do it if it makes her happy, and runs his palms over her back, fingers trailing over her shoulders like a dance. I meant it, she says, suddenly sober. Thank you, Eddie.
Anytime, Chris, he says, and he means it too.
Eddie doesn't know where they go from here. There's a summer stretched out in front of him, and while his new job is going to eat away at a good chunk of it, he knows that the rest of it, he wants to spend with her. He wants all the stupid, mushy shit they put in pop songs, God help him. He wants the Billy Joel kind of sweet. He wants the bubble gum on his tongue, and the unexpected sting of teeth on his throat at 10:54 p.m. on a Tuesday, when he is supposed to be getting her home for a curfew that shouldn't apply to an 18-year-old anymore. He wants the days like this. Sun-warmed skin pressed up against him in a swaying hammock. Chrissy curled up to him without a moment's hesitation because she trusts him. Because she feels safe with him. He wants the goofy shit and the embarrassing shit she's too shy to say out loud and the painful things she still crams down into the corners of her cheer duffel. And he'll wait for the day she can bring them to him with open palms and ask for help getting rid of the things that hurt her. Eddie wants all of it. So badly his ribs ache with it. And the real kicker here is that he's learning that Chrissy wants all those things, too. With him. Incredible. How the fuck did this become his life? He wants to go back in time and tell little 8th grade Eddie, with his too big guitar and his too short hair, that he can hang on to that crush with both hands if he likes. Because not only was he right about that sweet girl with the pigtails who told him she liked his songs, she's even better once he knows her. She likes dancing and making him laugh, and has a stash of V.C. Andrews books she swore him to secrecy over. She hates the smell of cigarettes, so he's been trying to cut back, and wrinkles her nose in the cutest way when she inhales on a joint he rolled for her. She's Cunningham. She's Chris. She's Chrissy. Prom queen, head cheerleader, and owner of his soft, soft heart. And he can't help but to think, as she tips her head to drop a kiss directly over that soft, soft heart of his, that no matter where the road ahead takes them, Eddie trusts her with it. The end. Author's notes. Hello to my 95th fic. Why do they have me by the throat? I see an Eddie. He goes in the hammock. Don't look at me. It fandom made the rules. I'm just following it. Also, too many of you seem to think it's weird to go through all my Eddie fics in a row. Bro. Love. I posted them for this exact purpose, never apologize to me for reading them, and especially don't apologize for commenting on all of them. I love you. Consume my content. We're all in the pain boat together. Spare comment? Please, they make me bonkers. Look at it. Look what they've done. Reader's note. This author's note seems particularly salient as I am currently attempting a full author blackout of all 16 of Here Just Roars Eddie Chrissy fix as part of ITBE 2022 as a gift for X-Man hater. Crossing my fingers that I get everything done. My time management has been kind of for shit, but look, X-Man hater, we are in the same boat together and I need to share my pain with someone.
Thank you for listening if you're not X-Men hater, because the hell cheer is forever. The hell cheer is for everyone. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.